So I want to talk to you about God's Wonder Woman, Mary. That's the way I think of her in this season of wonder. We've been following the story of Luke's gospel as we build to the Christmas narrative coming in Luke chapter 2. But we started with who? Who remembers where we started? 2 weeks ago. It's not that long ago. Zechariah. Thank you. Somebody remembers Zechariah. The one that we often skip right by. But Zechariah in the temple, and he sees a vision. He's given a promise that he and his wife Elizabeth, though they are very old, like Abraham and Sarah, they will receive a child, and they will be blessed so they can bless and prepare the way of the Lord and their son, John. And then we picked up the story last week. Reverend Carissa spoke about a witness to wonder, and that was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth and Mary have this greeting, and they have this moment together, and Elizabeth speaks of the goodness of God, whereas Zechariah was silent. Remember, all he had was his sign language that he could show to the people outside the temple when they knew that he was taking too long inside the temple that day. Elizabeth was Mary, God's to the wonder. And now we return to a more familiar character, Mary, God's Wonder Woman, and we pick up the story with her song, the Magnificat. Now, there's something about Mary that has made her beloved all over the world from generation to generation. We Protestants don't often appreciate fully what a world figure Mary is and what a central role she plays in the Christian faith all over the globe. But in cultures in the South and in the North and the East and the West, all over the globe, people love Mary. And Mary has taken a central role. Probably next to Jesus, Mary's the figure in art, in Christian art, that we see most. Often Mary is accompanied by Jesus as the Madonna, but sometimes we have these images of Mary alone. Sometimes Mary is portrayed as the Lady of Sorrows, right? Our Lady of Sorrows, because she is there at the very beginning of Jesus' story, and we know that she will be there to the very bitter end of that story as she witnesses her son being crucified. And so it breaks the mother's heart. When Holly and I were in Nazareth a couple years ago, we were leading a trip through the Holy Land. We came to this beautiful church that, not surprisingly, in Nazareth, celebrates Mary as the patron saint there. And on the walls of this church, many, and surrounding the courtyard, over 50, many works of art, an homage to Mary, if you will, from at over 50 different countries we counted. There are probably more than that, but just in our rough count, there were over 50. And so you saw Mary portrayed and taken in to every different culture, and so sort of a Byzantine look, and sometimes a Western European Mary that was reflective of the country that she was portrayed in. Or this was from South America, and doesn't it look like a Mary portrayed almost like an Incan Peruvian version of Mary? I love that one. I forget where this one came from. But they were all particular takes on Mary. And all over the globe, Mary has been an entree into the Christmas story. Not only that, but an entree into the heart of God, understanding the Jesus story through the heart of Mary. And Mary makes God accessible for some. Now, Protestants haven't always known what to do with Mary. We sort of have been ambivalent in the Protestant tradition about Mary because we felt like in the Reformation that Mary was a little too revered. And so for a while, we took a big step back. And one of the wonderful things that's happened recently in the last generation or two is a reappreciation of the role of Mary in our faith. And Mary as not only an icon of our faith, but one that we can turn to as a model of faith. The Reformation discovered, not in Nazareth, but just up in Baltimore a couple months ago. I was there to see the Reformation display at the Walters Art Gallery. And there is an amazing display of Ethiopian art there. Has anyone ever seen this religious art from Ethiopia? I would highly recommend you go. I went to see the Luther display, and the Luther display was like 15 little pieces shoved in a little room. The Ethiopian art section is huge and expansive, and one of my favorite Christmas cards I purchased this year is of that panel on the left side, an Ethiopian Mary and baby Jesus. I love that image. But if we're honest, most of the images that have come down to us through the years about Mary are Mary is sort of passive and adoring and quiet and reverent. These are what the images of Mary have looked like in our Sunday school literature and on our walls of the church building. Mary cuddling the child, the baby Jesus in the straw, or Mary just receiving, the adoring Mary, the wondering Mary. That's the Mary that we see in so much of the art and so much of the way that she's been portrayed. As I was reading the Magnificat this week, and as I've read it many years over, I think we need a stronger vision of Mary. This is the version of Mary I'd like to have. This Wonder Woman Mary, this strong, fierce woman, downtrodden, who sings out for justice, who sings out for those who are downtrodden, who sings out for the voiceless. It's a strong vision of Mary. But most of the time, this is what we get, Mary with Jesus on her lap. I went looking, and there are some, if you go looking in the tradition, there are some ways that Mary is portrayed with some superpowers, if you will. But if you look up Madonna, if you look up Madonna that's fierce, this is what you get. You don't get the wonderful images of the, and I found other images that I cannot show you in church of Madonna as well. But this is what you get when you look for fierce, strong images of Madonna, the Madonna with child, you get this Madonna. But some of the superpowers that Mary is attributed having is this heart. You see her portrayed in heart with the daggers through her heart. The Mary of the Sacred Heart, right? The Mary of the broken heart who will know the agony of Jesus' crucifixion and death, and yet she still adores and loves. Or some of the other images I love are Mary with the strength of these radiant beams that are flying out of her. This was back in Nazareth again on one of the walls there. And I love that strong image of Mary. Or this one, where Mary again is radiant and light, and she herself has a presence alongside of the child. Mary, towering tile piece, mosaic on the wall there. And this is like Mary, queen of the universe, a strong Mary and child. I love this one, Mary and Jesus over the whole city, looking out with strength. This is kind of a contemporary one. Mary is Superwoman. But this is the one I found that I loved the most. Mary lifting the child Jesus over her head. Do you see the strength in that image? This mother's strength. I think sometimes we have domesticated Mary a little bit too much. And I love this new way of imagining her in my mind's eye. So what makes Mary so strong? First of all, she's a mom. Now, last week, Carissa said she couldn't speak firsthand about being a mother because she hasn't yet had that experience. I'm even a step farther removed, so I have even less credentials to speak about being a mother. But I've lived with a very fierce mom, Holly, who has loved her children fiercely and been a strong role model, a strong woman for them to look up to and admire and learn from. And I look around this congregation, I think about all the strong mothers I see out here. There is nothing passive about being a mom, is there? No, not a body participation. It begins with the act of carrying the child, which is a full body participation, yes? It takes over your life, and you have to participate. Mary participates with this new life that is being born in her. She gives herself over to that. And I've also seen moms who are fiercely protective of their children. How many of you out there would describe yourselves as a mama bear? Like, don't you dare mess with my kids, right? I see some kids raising their hands for their moms. But there is this fierce strength that we sometimes subdue or sometimes downplay when we think about a mother's love. A mother's love can be tender and it can be gentle and it can be Mary cradling the child with a lullaby. That's one aspect. But a mother's love is fierce and strong. Just because Mary's a mom, I know her strength. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." I don't think Mary could have ever anticipated or predicted the level of art and adoration that she would inspire in her lifetime when she sang this song. And yet those words have come to pass. Things for me, generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary is a strong, strong woman. How many of you have found yourself going to the grocery store a little bit more than normal in the last week or two? I feel like I've been to Giant or Safeway about every day, getting stuff for baking and entertaining. And if you've been in those checkout lines, you notice that Time Magazine did something interesting this year. They used to give something called the Man of the Year. They got very progressive a few years ago, started calling it the Person of the Year. But this year, Time's Person of the Year was not one person, but many people. They were called the Silence Breakers. These were women who dared to speak out, who dared to say no more, who dared to claim their agency, who dared to stand up to people who were in powerful positions and to say, my body belongs to me. I think of Mary in some ways as having that kind of spirit. Mary as the silence breaker with her song. Mary is the one who stands by those who have no voice. Now you see some pretty famous people like Naomi Judd and Taylor Swift, but there's also faces on that cover that you don't recognize. Or the woman who spoke out for the farm workers and the abuse that occurs there, or the woman who spoke out about the abuse that was happening in hospitals, or the woman who spoke out about in the political settings in the state legislature. And all these women are being recognized and honored as the people of the year for their voice, the strength of their voice. The song that Mary sings is no less than a song of revolution. This is not a lullaby, friends. We've done ourselves a disservice by thinking of just the beautiful, majestic language of the Magnificats that our choirs have probably sung and you have sung over the years. They're beautiful settings. But if you pay attention to the words, God is doing something revolutionary through Mary. And Mary is singing about the kingdom that her son will bring and teach and live and embody. For he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. This is a world turned upside down, and Mary is singing about it as if though it has already happened, because the child that she is carrying within her will bring this kind of upside down kingdom. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary in the Eastern tradition is called the world literalist, the God-bearer, the one who brings God's presence into the world literally. And we, alongside of Mary, are invited to join in participation with God's new kingdom that is coming on earth, where things are getting turned upside down. You and I are called to stand next to those who have no voice, to stand next to those who have no power, to stand next to those who need an assurance that God's love reaches all the way down and not just to the upper tiers of society. We with Mary are called to be a voice for justice and a voice of hope, joyful hope for all the world. Now, when I think of Mary during the Advent season, I can't help but think of my daughter, Christine. Christine is now 27 years old. She's married. She's living in Florida. We'll get to see her after Christmas. Looking forward to that. But when Christine was 4 years old, she got to be Mary in the preschool Christmas pageant, which was a big deal, even though she had no speaking part. In fact, none of the kids had any speaking parts. The shepherds just came in on cue, the wise men, the innkeepers, Joseph and Mary sort of wandered around as the story was narrated. And it was a wonderful production. I remember well. It was great. She was dressed in blue. Mary's always dressed in blue, right? But what I remember more than the actual performance was that she took that role on during all of December. And whenever we would drive around the neighborhoods and see beautiful decorations in the yards, we were living up in Reisterstown at the time, and we saw a fair number of nativity scenes in the yards. And there would be the wise men, and there would be the shepherds, and Mary, and Joseph, and Christine would point, and she would say, "There I am. There I am." Now, in her four-year-old mind, she really was Mary. That was her sitting next to Joseph. And I've always admired her childlike wonder of putting herself in the story. And I think the Magnificat calls us to stand with Mary, to not sing a lullaby, but to shout out a protest song about a vision of the way, not the things are, but the way that they might be in God's kingdom. To take a stand with Mary for justice and love and compassion and truth, where things get turned upside down this year. So my hope and my prayer for all of us Protestant Christians this year is that we might see Mary not just as meek and mild, but Mary is God's Wonder Woman, God's strong, fierce prophet. And that we might, with Christine, every time we see Mary and hear her song and take heed of her words, we might say, "There I am. There we are. Thanks be to God. Amen."